Good afternoon, Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. It's time for Crop Watch, brought to you by O'Toole Seed, Crary Industries, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Rain is falling across the northern plains today. According to the North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network, Hillsboro, North Dakota, and Purley, Minnesota have the most rain in the gauge so far at 47 hundredths of an inch. Fargo, Wahpeton, and Mayville in North Dakota are reporting 38 to 40 hundredths of an inch. Ada, Minnesota, reporting 27 hundredths of an inch. In North Dakota, Grand Forks is reporting 24 hundredths of an inch of rain, and Michigan has 21 hundredths in the gauge. Langdon is reporting 1/10 of an inch, with Rugby and Jamestown both reporting just a trace of rain.
Farmers in northern Minnesota made planting progress over the past week. Bayer Crop Science Channel field sales representative Mike Dufault says there's been some wheat going into the ground, but it'll be a few days before the corn and bean planting picks back up.
I don't anticipate heavy pushes for corn and soybean planting, though, until the end of this week, maybe beginning of next, depending on how the temperatures look going forward, I guess.
Dufault says cool, wet conditions will continue to delay planting progress in some areas.
Even without the rain, 50-degree temperatures don't really do a lot for us for drying some of those wet fields out, especially the ones that have some corn stalks or stubble standing in them yet from last year.
Farmers in southern Minnesota made quite a bit of corn planting progress last week. University of Minnesota Extension Crops educator Dave Nicolai explains.
I think in a lot of areas it's complete. They moved immediately to soybeans, and a large majority of the soybeans were planted. And I think for the next couple of days, a lot of those soybeans that are left to go will be planted and will be complete at least probably 20 days early than we compared to a year ago.
Nicolai says soil conditions are somewhat dry.
A rain would be very welcome, not only for germination, but also for farmers that have had an opportunity to put on a pre-emergence herbicide. We really need close to a quarter, usually a half an inch, for good activation of that product.
Nicolai says there could be reason for concern for growers as temperatures turn cooler later this week.
South Dakota Wheat Commission Executive Director Reed Christofferson says the winter wheat is progressing well in South Dakota.
About 72%, good to excellent, and now it has been downgraded to 66. But the change is mostly some movement of the wheat into that fair category, still sitting with only 2% in the poor, very poor. So it's come through winter well, and we had just a little bit of a setback with the winter event that we had 2 or 3 weeks ago now. But it seems to be coming back. There's good growth. Some of the producers reporting it's probably as high as they've seen it in a long time at this time of the year.
According to USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, South Dakota's spring wheat plantings are 60% complete, with 17% of that crop emerged. Christofferson says farmers in the northeast area of South Dakota are still seeding spring wheat. Rain is delaying more planting this week. Christofferson says farmers are also closely watching the frost forecast.
At least potential coming up now over the Mother's Day weekend. And so a lot of anxious watching of that. Winter wheat hopefully has enough strength to it at this point that there should be a minimal impact. But it's going to just depend upon how cold and how long it stays cold. So those are kind of, the two critical factors.
In Kansas, winter wheat conditions vary. Kansas Wheat CEO Justin Gilpin says an Easter freeze had a negative impact on the wheat grown in the central part of the state.
Still kind of being evaluated by farmers as that crop was jointed and then boot staged, so it wasn't headed out. So still waiting to see how many heads were lost that were by opening up stems. But the other story that's really emerging is the drought conditions out in the western part of the state in eastern Colorado and the panhandles of Texas and Oklahoma. They're experiencing pretty severe drought conditions and low tiller counts, and if we don't get a rain soon, that the crop in that area is going to be have real challenges.
Harvest will begin soon down in Texas, but Gilpin says wheat harvest in Kansas is still about 6 weeks away.
We're at that critical stage as the crop is starting to head out. going to go into flyering. We're really trying to make grain, make test weights, and try to add yield. And the fact that we've had the drought conditions and the freeze events really for sure taking the top end off of the average projected for this crop. And if you look at Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, Colorado year on year, probably going to be a pretty significant drop between between those four states. It could be about maybe 100 to 120 million bushels less production this year than there was last year because of the tough conditions.
And this is typically the week of the Hard Red Winter Wheat Tour. And Gilpin says Kansas wheat will be conducting a digital tour the week of May 18th. And that's Crop Watch, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, O'Toole Seeds, and Crary Industries.
Progress, or the lack of crop progress, is in the back of traders' minds as forecasts for freezing temperatures for a large portion of the northern Midwest are in the forecast. Corn Belt Marketing market analyst Larry Clay is not expecting a lot of impact on the crop.
You know, I think that all of us that have a farmer background or deal with farmers are definitely concerned about it. We're going to have, I mean, when you look at percentage emerged, not dramatic, but still it's going to have an impact on that. And I would say that in areas, what we've seen in many spots is that the bean progress outweighs what we've done in corn.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Private exporters reported sales of 378,000 metric tons of soybeans to China and 109,000 tons of corn to Mexico this morning. INTL FC Stone market analyst Ryan Moe hopes we could continue to see these types of sales.
Yep, another 378,000 metric tons to China, which is exactly what we want to see. We are going to have a hard time, I think, at the end of the season with these strong export sales because Brazil has been such an active player in that market, but they are essentially sold out with as much as they can possibly sell out of Brazil. So the U.S. is the market of choice. We just have to hope China isn't full.
Brazil's currency value will continue to remain a hurdle to overcome for U.S. traders.
And with that currency continuing to stay weak and with the issues that are continuing to plague Brazil from a political standpoint, weakness in the real is probably not going away anytime soon. So that's going to be a headwind that soy is going to have to fight here in the U.S. for a very, very long time.
And Brazil's soybean exports totaled 16.3 million tons in April. That's an all-time record for a single month. The previous record was 12.3 million tons, which was set May 18th.
Producer sentiment dropped to a three-year low in the latest Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. For April, the barometer reads 96. That's the first time the barometer has fallen below 100 since October of 2016. In the monthly survey, two-thirds of respondents indicated they were very worried or fairly worried about the impact of the coronavirus on their farm's profitability. 35% of respondents said they have already implemented changes to their farm operations to respond to COVID-19 concerns. There's also been a sharp drop in commodity prices. 55% of respondents said they expect a worse financial performance in 2020 than 2019.
USDA has started to divvy out WIP Plus disaster payments. To date, the Farm Service Agency has received more than 33,000 program applications. South Dakota FSA Acting State Executive Director Jamie White says there is still an opportunity for farmers to sign up for the assistance. It's as simple as making an appointment at their county FSA office.
Sign up began on March 23rd. There is not a sign up deadline to date, so we do have ongoing sign up activities taking place. Most South Dakota counties have already received a secretarial disaster declaration due to excessive moisture, but there are a few who have not as of yet. But that does not prevent producers from being eligible for WIP Plus. They simply need to be able to provide evidence to support that the production loss was due to excessive moisture, and that can be considered an eligible cause of loss.
Weitz adds the FSA is still working on the quality loss provisions within the WIT Plus program.
The rules have not been written for the quality loss portion as of yet, but we are actively taking, again, applications at this point in time for WIT Plus. We can process those applications. Payments can be made. We've started to see many payments throughout the nation for WIT Plus, specifically regarding excessive moisture. But I think right now the activity has been a bit slow just because folks are waiting for the quality loss portion, but we would just encourage producers to go ahead and call their county office, file an application. We are taking virtual appointments.
White was part of a webinar hosted by the South Dakota Farm Bureau, which can be found at sdfbf.org.
The Minnesota Management and Budget Office has released an updated budget projections for fiscal years 2020 and 2021. Minnesota's budget and economic outlook has worsened due to the coronavirus since the previous projections were released in February. A budget deficit of more than $2.4 billion is now projected for the current biennium. That's almost a $4 billion change compared to the previous estimate. Revenues are projected at $3.6 billion lower, and spending is expected to be $391 million higher. A $2.3 billion budget reserve remains available to mitigate COVID-19 impacts.
The Minnesota Senate unanimously passed an emergency rural broadband bill. The $20 million legislation expands rural broadband access to students and their families. $10 million will go to the Border to Broadband Fund. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota House Agriculture, Food, Finance, and Policy Division met this morning in what could be one of their last meetings of the session to review the Supplemental Ag Finance Bill and the Farmer Lender Mediation Act. House Research Development Staff Coordinator Colby Sullivan reviews amendments for the Ag Finance Bill.
Effectively reduce the additional funding for the Department of Agriculture's Rural Mental Health Program from $50,000 to $40,000 of new money, and make a corresponding increase of $10,000 to the supplemental funding for the Farm Advocates Program, and that would go from $50,000 to $60,000 of new money.
The Supplemental Ag Finance Bill was passed out of the committee and will now move to the House Ways and Means Committee. Ag Committee Chair Gene Poppe says there may be another amendment to the Ag Finance Bill in this committee. The House Agriculture, Food, Finance, and Policy Division also passed the Farmer Lender Mediation Act out of committee to the General Register.
The U.S. and Great Britain are starting trade talks today via video conference. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley told reporters this morning it could be difficult to have the chats over video conference.
It seemed to work in a lot of instances in the case of China, and I never heard anything negative out of it, but it seems to me it's not quite as good as sitting across the table from them. I would expect to have a much more liberal negotiations and more favorable free trade for American agriculture vis-a-vis the UK than we would get from the EU, but I would also expect our goal there to be with the UK so we could get a better deal when we negotiate with the EU.
Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat up a quarter at 508.5. July Chicago wheat up 3/4 at 520.25. July Kansas City wheat down 3.75. July corn up 1.25 at 316.75. December corn down 0.25 at 333.75. July beans up 1 at 837.5. November beans down 1.25 at 844.5. June live cattle down $1.57 at 86.50. May feeder cattle down 22 cents. August down $1.45 at 127.52. June lean hogs down $1.15 at 64.35. This is the Red River Farm Network.